Okay, so our theme for this year, for 2016, is creating a world that works for all. And each week we're speaking on a different aspect of creating this world that works for all. And today we're going to talk about the idea that God is personal. We talk a lot in New Thought, especially in religious science aspect of it, about God as law, God as principle. And this is a very important thing for us to understand, because otherwise it feels like we live in a capricious universe, that just things just happen by accident. We don't know why certain things happen, and it would be easy to get into an attitude that we're victims of something. So what we know in our teaching of New Thought is that God is law, but God is also love. And it's these two aspects of God working together that create the whole picture. So today we're going to talk about the aspect of God as love. God is a personal relationship for each of us. When we speak of God as law, what we're saying is that what we're seeing in our lives is a reflection, is a mirror of what we're thinking, feeling, and believing inside of ourselves. And that if we want to change what we're seeing on the outside, we have to go to the inside and change those things inside of us in order to see a different reflection in the world around us. So one of the things that we all need in life, one of the greatest needs of every human being, is the need for happiness. And happiness is a result of being in right relationship to this indwelling presence that we affectionately call God. This happiness springs out of enthusiasm. It's when this life is flowing through us out into our lives as enthusiasm that we feel happy. We feel happy to be a part of this expression of life. And an unenthusiastic person is very unanimated. They have a stagnation in their bodies as well as in their minds. But an enthusiastic person is in tune with this flow of life moving through them, and they're enthusiastically moving along and enjoying the life that Kevin was singing about, seeing God everywhere. That was a lovely song, by the way. Thank you for being the author of that and sharing that with us here. So because happiness is an absolute requirement for us, both psychologically and physiologically, if we're not happy, then we're on a downward trend of morbidity and stagnation that isn't leading to life in the expression of that. The trouble is that we have tried to attach God, this infinite spirit, this allness, to our limited human selves. We think that it has to do with our body and how our body is experiencing life in the outer. And that is simply not true. We are so much more than just our body. This is a vehicle through which we express in this life experience. But our true joy, our true happiness, rises from within, from our spirit that is reflecting that indwelling presence. Now, we can't take that allness of God and compress it down to fit inside of us. It's too much. It's too big. So the alternative, what we have to do, is realize our allness with it. Expand, as the reading today that Margie read talked about, expanding into the allness of God. That's how we experience God, not through trying to make it small like we feel, but being expanded and reach out and become one with all that God is. So in the process of doing that, we have to reassure ourselves that there's nothing to be afraid of. Because as we expand out into the outer recesses of universal life, it can be a little frightening. We can feel like, well, who am I to think that much about life or myself and my part in it? There's a reading that you may be familiar with. It was actually written by Marianne Williamson, but Nelson Mandela also shared it. And it's about this very thing. She says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. We are powerful beyond measure because we are one with this indwelling presence that is everywhere present, all-knowing, all-loving, and all-powerful. That's what we are one with. That's what we are the expression of. And when we realize that, it means that we're bigger than we thought we were, and we have to expand to incorporate that. When I was researching that writing for this talk, I came across another beautiful quote by Marianne Williamson that I wanted to share with you. She said, "We are not held back by the love we did not receive in the past, but we are held back by the love we're not extending in the present." So spiritually, happiness is always an inside job. It's happening within us. In many cases, our human nature is to seek for happiness outside of us. We're looking for happiness in our relationships, in our possessions, in our positions, in all kinds of power ways of recognition, when actually that's not where it comes from at all. Sometimes we even look for it in various religious affiliations. We think that if we ascribe to just the right creeds and dogmas, that then we'll be happy. Then we'll be satisfied. Then we'll find that indwelling presence. And that is not true either. The barriers that have been set up that tell us that we can't connect with that spiritual presence unless we do things a certain way are just some of the spiritual hoops that we've been told that we have to jump through in order to find God. Sometimes it rested in doing penance in a certain way, or fulfilling certain requirements, or that only the priest or the Pope or Jesus could really know God. The rest of us just had to listen to what they said and do what they tell us to do. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. We are all one with that indwelling presence. It dwells within us, and we all have access to it. We don't have to earn that. We don't have to do anything in order to make that true. It's always available to us. We just have to acknowledge that and reach out and choose to do that. The psalmist said very eloquently at the end of the 21st Psalm, which I'm sure you've heard and probably said many times, said, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the house of the Lord is our consciousness. House refers to where we're living inside of our own consciousness. And we all have access to this welcoming and unconditionally loving presence of the divine. We can all dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But it must be a conscious decision. It has to be a choice that we make to dwell there. And at this time of the year, in a political season, everywhere around us, there's a lot of talk about things that aren't very peaceful. You can't turn on your television or your radio or your internet or even engage in conversations lots of times without this political attack and unrest being present. But what if we were dwelling in that house of the indwelling presence of spirit, and we were at peace? We were completely at peace this time of the year, then none of that would have any effect on us. It would just go right past us. It would zoom right past us because there would be nothing that would attach us to that. So as we practice living in that indwelling presence in the house of the Lord, we can be at peace in the midst of all that's going on around us. We don't have to be contributing to it by being in a state of unrest, because as within, so without. So if we're getting upset or disturbed by things that are being shown on television or on the radio or the internet, then we need to go to that peaceful place within and remember that we can contribute peace this time of this season of the year. Instead of being a part of the problem, we can be a part of the solution. So spirit is at the very center of each one of us, dwelling at the center of each one of us. And to it, to this presence, we can go for guidance and direction, for help in everything that's going on in our lives. From the Upanishads, which are the sacred scriptures of the Hindu, it says, "The silent one, the knower. That's another term for the indwelling presence or God. The silent one, the knower, ever resting in us, may walk, stand, sit, lie down, or do anything at its sweet will. So I love that, that we have a resting place within us, a knower, a silent one. So this is something that we cannot run from. We can't escape from it. It is always with us. It has been with us from the beginning and will be with us forevermore. But the key is, how do we show up with it? What relationship do we establish with it? How do we choose to relate to this indwelling presence? The very essence of who we are rests in the idea that we are established by the infinite. We have been created and established by the infinite intelligence of life. I think of it like a blueprint. We have been created out of a blueprint of perfection. Everything about us was created to express this perfection. And yet we don't know how to do it. We don't know how to pump the blood through our heart. Do we have to tell the heart, okay, pump, pump, pump? No, it knows how to do that. We don't have to tell the oxygen how to circulate through our bodies. It knows how to do this. And yet somehow we think that even though this intelligence can guide our bodies, that we have to tell it what to do in every area, in every other area of our lives, instead of depending on this presence to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, just as it's doing with every other part of life. We can look around us and see the planets rotating in perfect orbits. We can see the tides ebbing and flowing. We can see the seasons coming and going in regular ways. And so we cannot deny that there's a universal intelligence that is at work in the universe. That's also working within us, establishing perfect right order and peace if we turn to it and allow it and relate to it personally. There's nothing between us and God. There's no intermediary that we have to reach in order to find that indwelling presence. It's as close as our awareness. It's as close as our breath. All we need to do is just turn within and acknowledge that, and it can respond to us. It can only respond to us as we respond to it. That's part of that law, that as what we see within, we see without. So when we see within that indwelling presence and relate to that, then it becomes a living experience, a living presence in our life. Let's see. Skip to page. We can't go out looking for God and expect to find God. That would be like God hunting for himself. It's everywhere present. It's right where we are all the time. God is not lost, and neither are we lost. God hasn't gone anyplace. It's right here within us. And the more completely that we're able to see God in everything present, the more completely will that one God respond to us. Sometimes someone will ask me, it will tell me that they don't believe in God. And I love these conversations because I always like to ask them, well, tell me about that God you don't believe in. And they'll usually say something like, oh, well, I don't believe that God could be keeping notes and throwing people in hell who don't subscribe to certain teachings. I say, no, I don't believe that either. And I don't believe that God is a big man up on a throne in the clouds that keeping notes and dictating our lives. Well, no, I don't believe that either. And so we have this discussion about it. So then I like to say, well, do you believe that there is a life within all living animated things that you can see when it's active there and you can see when it's gone? Yes, I believe in that. Well, do you believe in the power of love? Have you ever seen love active in your life or anyone else's life? Yes, I've seen that. Have you ever seen the intelligence of the universe as it moves through nature and seasons and life and growing plants and trees? Well, yes, I've seen that. Well, then we believe in the same God. We believe in the same life principle. We're just calling it different things. So we need to expand our understanding of God to include all of life, not some old beliefs that we have hidden back in our subjective mind that tell us that God is this way and that way. We need to expand our concepts and see God everywhere, in everything, including the indwelling presence within each of us. There was a kindergarten teacher whose class was drawing pictures, and she liked to wander around the room while they were drawing and see what each child was drawing. And this one day, she came across the little girl who was diligently working, drawing carefully, and she asked her, "What are you drawing?" And she said, "I'm drawing God." And the teacher wanted to be tactful, but she said, "You know, really, we don't know. Nobody knows what God looks like." And the little girl didn't even look up. She said, "Well, they will when I'm through." Mm-hmm. So she knew her oneness with the divine. She wasn't going to let anybody else tell her what God looks like. So we are the same way. There's nothing that interferes with our intelligence, with our ability to know God. If we think like a child, if we think simply like a child, and realize that that presence and power never leaves us, never forsakes us. There are many things that the Master Teacher Jesus told us about this. He said, "Except ye become as little children, you shall not find the kingdom of God." So those are some things that we can take to heart. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you," meaning that indwelling presence of the divine. So what if we took that innocent simplicity of a child and just depended on that guidance from within to help us live our lives, to help us find the answers to things that look like big problems, but in that infinite intelligence, they're not. We can just simply flow with that. So let's do an exercise together. I invite you just to go within for a moment and close your eyes. Now picture in front of you a big bucket of markers of some sort. Maybe you like colored markers. Maybe you like colored pencils or crayons. Whatever your medium of choice is, picture a big bucket of that, an unlimited number of those. And in front of you are two big pieces of paper. Okay, now on the first big piece of paper, draw what you think God is. Just create a picture from your imagination. What is God? It can be as colorful as you want it to be. It can be as vast and beautiful as you want it to be. Okay, we can do this in lightning speed since it's done in our imagination. And now go over to your next piece of paper. And on this piece of paper, draw the obstacles that are keeping you from experiencing oneness with that divine life. What obstacles? They may be physical obstacles. They may be obstacles of resentment or unforgiveness or pain from something that's happened to you. What are the obstacles that are keeping you from experiencing the beauty and the oneness with the divine presence? Okay, now take that piece of paper on which you drew those obstacles and just begin to shred it. Tear it up into little tiny pieces. Just tear it up and destroy it. That's right. That's right. Those obstacles that you drew are simply parts of a past belief system. It was always just a belief system. It was never real. It never really existed in your life. You made it up at some point in time because that's what you believed. So now you're free of that. You've torn up those obstacles, and you can embrace that beautiful picture of divine life that you have created, that you know from within yourself. So you can start living with that one indwelling presence, that personal aspect of God. Now I invite you to open your eyes. And we have an affirmation that I'd like for us to read together. I'll read it to you first while you absorb it, and then we'll read it together. The indwelling presence, wait just a minute. I'll do it first, and then you can help me in a minute. The indwelling presence is alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic within me now. I live my life in the promise of peace. Okay, ready? The indwelling presence is alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic within me now. I live my life in the promise of peace. And so it is. Thank you.